Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is November 22nd. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing swell. I'm back. I apologize for the late release here. This was all on me. I got back pretty late from Oregon. I moved back into a house that's half moved into. I had to then traverse, you know, my new commute to this office that I'm in. Then I had to get connected to the internet. It's been a fiasco, and my wife was with our 1-year-old for a week straight, so I guess I was on baby duty this morning. There's no questions about who was handling breakfast and everything, and my wife quickly departed the house and
got the hell out.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I think if we had to record yesterday, I might not have been able to do it. It was all-time worst for the wear. Friendsgiving, back in a big way after a year off. And I think there was some overcompensation there Saturday night. You know, coming out of our shoes is an understatement. It's like Ho Sung Choi twirling to and fro, full cuts.
Whatever happened to Ho Sung Choi?
I was wondering about him earlier today. Like, where's our Ho Sung Choi? Where'd he go?
What a blip on the radar. You know, we'll always have that year. What was it, 2019?
Certainly coincide with this podcast, that's for sure, because you got plenty of airtime here. But we'll bring him back at some point. Maybe he's a feature in the upcoming year in review.
Let's see what he got to, like, 20th or 200th of the world rankings?
Something like that, yeah.
He's 790 now. He had a T12.
Okay.
He's had a couple top 12. He had T12, T6.
Korean PGA Tour still?
Yeah. What's he doing? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Korean right. PGA Tour. Top 10. He's still relevant.
Well, this is what the people come for on a Monday morning after an eventful golf weekend. You need your Ho Sung Choi update. Black Friday approaches. I know you're getting inundated with Black Friday deals. The shotgun start.
Can we talk about something?
Yeah, let's go. Do it.
I knew this was going to happen. Black Friday started like 2 fucking weeks ago.
Oh, like 3 weeks ago. I think it's
absurd.
Started before Halloween. I don't get it. I get that there's like supply chain stuff. Are people trying to get orders in early?
Well, shipping's an issue, but it's just a natural creep, and it just is, you know, like we put a sale up today just for newsletter subscribers, just because it's like everybody else is 2 weeks ahead of us. It's just crazy. Like,
I don't get it. I mean, Thanksgiving doesn't even matter. It's just all November is Black Friday. It's no longer a day. It's just all of November. And the emails are endless, you know, the promotions are endless. So, but anyways, to add our hat to the ring.
Yeah.
The Fried Egg Pro Shop has a various sundry of items.
There will be a Black Friday
deal starting on Friday. Or if you're a subscriber to the Fried Egg newsletter, you're already in. You got notice, or I don't know how you do it. If you got the newsletter, you can access it. If you don't get the newsletter, you'll have to wait till Friday. So why don't you subscribe
to
the newsletter?
Yeah, there's a Wednesday newsletter too. So, you know, you can still
you
get
go.
It on still Wednesday.
Still got a chance.
Subscribe.
Get your discount.
You know, look at that. We're just hooking you in. We're hooking you in with it. You want a discount early? You want that deal 2 days early? Let me tell you something. Subscribe now.
Hey, man, that Courier Dilemma shirt may be gone before Friday. If you want it, you better get it. So there's a ton of good shit in there. There's this flare rope hat, thick boy hat. The flannel hats are back. I have a flannel hat. You know, I typically only wear performance hats. And you and Will and others were kind of singing the praises of that flannel. And now it's kind of like all I wear from like October through March. You know, it's like a great, great hat. That's back in stock. There's just SGS lawn sleeves, which I'm going to ask for a special one sent to me. There's sweatshirts, Boy from Bratislava, hoodies. Tervises are back. Tervis, you know, took their thumb off the scale of the little guy. Maybe there was a mix-up with their legal department telling us
this
we
is
could
a
never
funny
sell.
Story. This is a funny story. So they sent that email a couple of years ago.
You have to pull
year?
These down. You can't yeah. sell these via e-commerce. You need a brick-and-mortar shop.
Yeah, you need a brick-and-mortar shop. And then, like, you know, we talked about it on this pod. Like, literally, like, a month later, they sent an email. They must have heard from all these online stores that were like, I can't believe you're doing this to us. Yeah. They sent an email that was like, oh, that was just for Amazon resellers, people who resell shit on Amazon.
But they sent it to everyone, right?
They sent it to everybody, and it was like an alarm bell. We were like, oh, what are we going to do with
you
all this
gotta
inventory?
Just got to pull them down. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're back.
So those are
we're back.
Back
at, we're right. back in the Tervis game, thanks to their, you know, their graciousness of letting us be an online retailer.
All right, so that's all up and running. Ton of good stuff. Fried Egg Pro Shop, Shotgun Start Pro Shop. Subscribe to the newsletter, and you're in for the the Black Friday deal. All right, where should we go? Should we start with Tiger? Can we start with Tiger?
I didn't see this. What happened?
He made a swing. He posted it with making progress. Appears to be a wedge of some sort that appears
here's
in his
my
backyard. I think
I
it's
said this
backyard.
Right off the bat to our team right after this posted. I said, this is all just a deal to make more money. And
what does that mean?
So this started the details started to come out. So that launch monitor.
What is it?
He's an owner in the launch monitor company.
Okay. There was a lot of talk about the launch monitor being out there. Okay.
It was the Country Club Collective, Danny O on Instagram broke this down. The launch monitor wasn't even set up properly.
Okay.
He also went on to say, Tiger doesn't even use this launch monitor. He uses like whatever the GC quad is. I'm not a gear guy, but yeah. Literally an hour after the video posted, I got a PR email about the launch monitor.
Oh my God. Okay. I figured it was something because he's going to be at Bahamas next week or Albany for the Hero. He's going to be taking questions. There's rumors he might play the father or son. Like rumors. I'm saying not sourced at all. Just like total hopeful guesses, I should say. Not even rumors. I figured it was related to that, something with Bahamas, but there was an activation element to it, is what you're telling me. Something with the launch monitor.
Yeah, the launch monitor that he's a shareholder in the company. All right. So
we've done away with the
equity
seedy
owner.
Underbelly. We've done away with we've set the parameters for the seedy underbelly of this story, if that's the word. I mean, it was amazing to see. Very few things surprise me anymore. I shouldn't be surprised, I suppose, by Tiger like coming back or hitting a shot. Like, I was genuinely shocked. I was genuinely floored to see him hitting a golf shot and posting it publicly, albeit if there was a commercial element to it. I was legitimately quite shocked. I thought it was great. I thought it was energizing and uplifting on a Sunday morning when I was incredibly worse for the wear.
Invigorating?
Yeah, it was like kind of a holy shit moment. I just, and I know that doesn't mean anything for his golf career necessarily. I just didn't think we'd see him publicly making a swing, certainly this year and maybe even, you know, 6 months into next year. So it was really cool. It was good. And people freaked the hell out about it.
Well deserved freak out too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, Golf Channel, they got to talk about it. We got to talk about it right here. They're talking about, well, I think Jack's 18 majors are off the table. That's how they tee up this segment on this. Is he going to play the father-son? Or I guess it's the PNC Challenge. Cause, I mean, Nelly's playing with her dad. It's a more familial event now than just father-son. I don't know.
All right. Well, here's kind of...
I don't know if he plays golf again in 2022.
We don't know.
I'm more optimistic about that now than I was a day ago.
Way more optimistic, all right? Sure. But, like, let's just preface this and put this into, like, context, right? Like, he hit a golf shot, okay? This it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, except he can hit a golf shot, which, you know, we talked about this after the accident, is like, we just hope he can live a life, a normal life with his kid, was like kind of coming out of that. And this gives me hope that like his life going forward will be somewhat normal. Whether or not he plays golf again professionally at this point is like, you know, I don't really care that much. I would love him to come back. Tiger's great for the game of golf. You know, he brings a different level of excitement. He is the needle, as you like to, you know, your favorite reference of him.
Technology that doesn't even exist, or I don't know, some reference to technology that doesn't certainly doesn't matter or exist anymore. But go ahead.
But like, to think that like, oh, the Masters is, you know, this is, he's probably still very far away. I mean, this, yeah, he's going through effectively what Alex Smith went through, which was like 2 years, you know? And one thing I noticed watching it, the guy's legs are very small right now.
Yeah.
They're very thin. And you can understand why. They've been in casts and, you know, yeah, they had a lot of operations done to him. And one of the things that's most pivotal aspects of playing high level golf is your legs. I don't think that this means that he's coming back. I don't want to be a killjoy. But it's wonderful to see the man swinging a golf club. And it looks like with the divots, unless they were Charlie's, he's been swinging a golf club a fair amount.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, that could have been any kind of... I think it was his backyard, right?
It was his backyard.
He's probably not out at some public range. You know,
it wasn't Medalist. It was his backyard. Yeah. So,
yeah. So hey, look.
That just got renovated. You know, that when I was down in the swamp, you know, it was in progress of renovation. So that's the renovated project there.
Yeah, they did a massive backyard.
Completely pulled it all out and
put it on. I need some leveling work done in my backyard. I wonder if I could use his guy, you know, level a tree stump.
It might be expensive if you use his guy.
Anyways, like, honestly, we catnip, call it whatever you want. Like, this was legit news for me. I was genuinely shocked, floored, surprised to see it. I know people who are very serious folks that watch this game, commentate on the game, no Tiger's deal. Like, we've followed Tiger for the last decade where it's like Friday announcements, or is he back? Is he not back? Is he coming? Is he going to be able to play? Like, we're used to this whole thing. This one legitimately surprised me. Is this like, and surprised, I think, a lot of serious people. Of course, there are like fanboys out there who say he's going to, you know, whatever, win the Masters the next 5 years. But I think on its face, it was very shocking and newsworthy in and of itself, even if there was a commercial element. All right. Anything else on that?
That's it. That's
super
it
exciting.
For me.
Good to see. All right. Where should we start on the weekend that was in golf? You want to do CME, Dubai?
Your pick. Let's
Taylor
do Dubai.
Gooch.
Let's do Dubai.
All right. Colin Morikawa wins the race to Dubai. He does the double. He wins the season long. He wins the DP World Tour Championship with a, I think it was a 65. Sunday? 66
yeah.
Sunday. 66 Sunday.
Five birdies in his last seven holes.
Wins by three. and, you know, breaks down afterwards in tears. I think less to do with about winning the race to Dubai, more about he lost a family member and was just kind of reflecting upon that. But he's mastered that whole, like, speech on the green thing. You know, not to say this was inauthentic or inorganic. He clearly was thinking about family member he'd lost and how, you know, much he should cherish his time with his girlfriend's family. But a momentous Sunday, I suppose. First American ever to do it.
Yeah, and now number two in the world rankings, chance to go to number one, 24 years old, unbelievable iron player. And, you know, I hate to go back to it, but he's the best iron player since Tiger Woods. And this is what happens when you're an ultra elite iron player. You can play anywhere. You can win anywhere. And he is phenomenal. He is a great, great player. His win rate is the closest to Tiger Woods since Tiger Woods. Him and John Rahm are the two closest, really, in terms of their consistency in winning. At the early points of their career, they are 1-2 in the world rankings. They are phenomenal players, and it's very exciting, I think, for golf because, you know, we've seen different players go on runs, and we've seen different players get to the top of the world rankings, but the way that Rahm and Morikawa do it seems quite sustainable and seems like there could be a long tail to it, more so even than Brooks or... You know, I think DJ has been at the top for a long time. He would fall into this bucket. But of, you know, the manner in which these two players do it is just at a level that we haven't seen very often.
We had a listener to the program who was out there with them, went around with them at some point this week in Dubai, had been out there with them before. It was just like, he's just completely... He's in his own world out there, like completely like in the moment, something like somebody who is on tour and used to seeing the best players, like just kind of a different level of being completely in the moment and in your own world. So, and that's how you win at the rate that he does. Even with the putting, you know, everybody brings up the putting. It's like, if you're a shitty putter, you don't win as often as he's winning.
Well, I think there's a difference between being a shitty putter, you know, like a consistently shitty putter and a streaky putter. And I think he's a streaky putter who has lows. Like, there are weeks where you're like, God, if he could only putt. But you know what? When he does putt and he putts regularly, as we've seen, because he wins when he putts, you know, like when he putts really well, he wins every time effectively. I mean, there's no way you get to the point where what he's, you know, effectively had, you know, just a handful of start. I mean, he's got in total 63 professional starts, including his amateur years, and he's got six wins.
Two majors, six wins. Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. He's got just over 60 starts as a pro. He's got 60 starts exactly as a pro.
Okay.
And he's got six wins. He's winning 10% of the time.
Go ahead.
That's insane.
I know.
You know,
he's really separated
himself. To put that in perspective, I think Ernie and Phil are around 8% for their career.
Okay.
I mean, that is a delightful win rate.
Yep. Got a long way to go to get those careers, but I mean, or to like, I mean, I don't know what's
here's the other thing about him.
What's maintainable, I guess, is more
the thing I think about him. He's got something that we haven't seen really since Tiger, where when he's in the mix, there's an inevitability.
You know, I didn't even consider him really in the mix in this event yet. Like, he was just sort of there. Like, there was the season long thing that was on the line. He just had to finish oh so high. And then you wake up like Sunday and he's not near, like he's not the last group and he's just gone and kind of blitzed it, you know? He was in the mix enough, but everybody was focused on Rory and Fitzy and players like that. And then all of a sudden, here comes Colin, just like, this isn't a particularly challenging course, like 66s are out there, and he just zips by everyone. And clearly, I guess in the mix is a relative term. He was in the mix enough that a 66 was good enough to win by three. So it was interesting.
Here's the thing. When you're going up against a guy that, like, you know, he's not going to make mistakes in general with his irons. Like, if he's up on that leaderboard, he's scary because, like, I think the tour and the players on tour know that he's better than them. Tee to green.
Is that why someone ripped their shirt? In anger,
I think he got he got a really shitty break.
Someone made the joke that was Colin Morikawa ripping his heart out. I think that was story one. Colin's win somehow got lost a little bit. Winning the first American to win the race to Dubai got lost in sort of the Rory, the viral image, I think, by tour miss. Breaking news over in Dubai with Rory ripping his shirt. He got a horrible break. He hit it off the pin, you know, bounced back in the bunker, and then he hit a less than stellar bunker shot. Then, speaking of putting,
putting
on 16 was bad. Looks like he was going to backhand the third one. Like, just had given up. Was so mad. Shoots a 74. Fades pretty hard there at the end. All over the last, like, you know, four or five holes. but and then tears a shirt and it goes viral. Pretty people are angry about it, are not angry, are impressed by his anger. You know, this was proof positive of his passion, of his class. I heard one commentator say he's a class act because he did this out of the view of others. And this shows just how much he cares about winning and cares about the game. I don't know. I don't think it's good, bad. I found it newsworthy in and of itself. But to suggest this is some... Rory gets the benefit all the time, right? Rory like gets the positive...
Yeah, think about
filter.
If John Rahm did that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well... I mean, the other
Rory's,
thing is like,
Rory's got a history of chucking
Rob
clubs.
Probably wins. I mean, that's where I'm at with Rory now.
God. He just won. He won the CJ
he
Cup.
He beat Keith Mitchell. I know.
He beat Morikawa.
Morikawa chased him a little bit. I know. I know. I think like...
It's just good to see Rory in contention again. Thank God he's... You know, who knows if he's done with Cowan? You know, it seems like they're just trading barbs through reporters.
Rory's trading any barbs.
Eamon Lynch are just, you know, texting the instructor and the pupil. And
I don't think Rory's had a chance to bury him and let Cowan have his games, play his games. How I'm interpreting it, but I don't know. Yeah, I think he's with Michael Bannon, from what I can tell.
Who could say this is a true who can say situation based off of the reporting? You know, Pete Cowan. But it seems like there's a meteoric rise in McIlroy's game, and it's coincided with the Ryder Cup and kind of dumping some baggage off his coaching carousel, seemingly.
Shouldn't try to hit a cut if you've hit like the best draw of the last like 20 years. I don't know.
We were walking with a major champion at Kiowa.
Yes.
Who I'll never forget turned to us and said, I mean, what the fuck is he doing? He's Rory freaking McIlroy.
Yeah.
Look at him. And he's over there like rehearsing positions and doing
stuff. In the waist area, just futzing around. Yeah.
And like, sure enough, like the quotes this week that got my attention were the Rory ones where he's like, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just swinging the golf club.
Right.
And it's like, that was right at the start of Cowan. And this is, thank God he's done with it. Give me back the Rory McIlroy who just gets up to the ball and hits it.
But,
you know what's the thing with Rory?
Yeah. What?
And I think this is, he kind of, in a way, we like to talk, like he's super thoughtful and he's a great interview and everything, but his golf game is DJ-like.
What does that mean?
Like, if he could just, like, stop thinking and just go out there and just hit the ball, he'd win a lot.
This has been my point to text
his friends. He's too thoughtful.
Yes. He's too in his own mind. He's reading all these books, The Obstacle is the Way, and all this other nonsense. He's too in his own mind. And that's how you end up with a 7-year major list drought, and it only compounds on itself, right? Like, it's... I'm sorry, but like winning in November doesn't do much for me with Rory. And it's the same for like Justin Thomas or Dustin Johnson. Like, and that's not fair, but like they've reached that level. Like, I don't know if Rory won this week and he'd won at CJ Cup. I guess I'd be like, all right, cool. Like, show me, like, can we see this now at, you know, Augusta or Southern Hills or wherever else? And maybe that's sort of the burden of success that we always say, but I just like winning in November almost is a detriment for me when I view Rory. It's almost like, of course he could win when he's like, stop thinking about it or stop thinking about the stakes of the opening round of a major championship where he can't seem to get off the ground. Right? That's not fair to him, but that's kind of where he's at in his career as a 20-win winner.
Well, you also think about where he wins. And they're kind of thoughtless places. Places that make him think conditions like the firm and fast conditions. Like, he doesn't play well in those. He plays well when it's mindless. And the conditions and the courses that he wins at kind of like point that out. It's like when it's just like point and shoot golf. I mean, soaked Valhalla, soaked Congressional, pre-renovation. Well, like, you know, yeah. Like these are the places he's thrived. You know, Kiowa, it was a great win, you know, and he hit a lot of shots. PGA. That was when he was at his peak. But like there's more cases of like the guy dominates at Quail Hollow. Quail Hollow is really a thoughtless golf course. It's just it tells you what to do every hole. The less the guy thinks, the better he is. He's so good. And that, you know, there are comments where he I remember what his quotes about like how he wishes he could be like DJ.
Yeah. Or didn't he tell that? Yeah. And didn't he tell Kyle after the reporter after the Ryder Cup, like something about Tiger playing with Tiger? Like, how are you so concerned? Or like, I wish I could be as like reckless or I don't know, as sort of less conservative when I was young. And, you know, when Tiger was conservative, older, he's like, how are you like that? And he says he's growing into that, being too conservative, right? And thinking too much about, you know, the bad outcomes. But anyways, we've done more now on Rory than Colin Morikawa. But the shirt thing was a big deal. Anything else from Dubai? European Tour? Farewell to the European Tour.
I mean, outside of that, I think, you know, one of the things, Nikolai Høggard.
Yeah.
Really good year. Both Høggards. You know, like I think his brother gets most of the praise, but these are bright spots when we start to look at the next Ryder Cup. You know, the Høggards are some people to watch.
Bobby Mack, T4, another young one that they think is going to. Apparently, this Dubai is like a big Scottish presence. There's like Scottish housing, like housing all around these courses, and they were like playing the Proclaimers, I would walk 500 miles with you as Bobby McIntyre. With like these Scots were like shouting their allegiance and devotion to Robert McIntyre from behind the fences or whatever at these Scottish houses. So very popular in Dubai by Robert McIntyre. Anything else?
I mean, do you want to talk about Rory worrying about his carbon footprint?
No. Wasn't that last Wednesday? No, we talked about that last Wednesday. I mean, we talked about it last month. What do you want to talk about?
No, nothing else.
It's amusing in and of itself. All right. Thanks. Congrats to Colin Morikawa. Moving on. The race to the CME Globe, the other kind of season-ending event for a season-long race, goes to Jin-Yun Ko. She hits every green in regulation. Isn't that right? 63 greens. 63. Over four, just outrageous number.
So 60, just to put that in context, so, you know, you get these just numbers, right?
Yeah.
She didn't miss a green after her front nine on Thursday. That's 63 holes. Just I think like sometimes with these stats you have like trouble putting it in context. Like 63 isn't 54. 50 it's from the start of the back nine Thursday. She didn't miss a green. That's unfreaking believable.
She wins by one over Nasa Hadayoka. You know, Hadayoka made a birdie at the last to make it a little closer. I mean, she goes out in 30 on Sunday. This was as good as the LPGA could have hoped. You have Ko, you have Nelly Korda, Hadayoka's in there. Celine Boutier also, like, I think they'd won the last, I want to say, like, between the three of them, won, like, the last six events. Hadayoka's obviously, or I'm sorry, Jin-Yun Ko has obviously won, what was it, five of the last nine? Just a ridiculous amount of, fifth time in her last nine starts. So she wins the player of the year, kind of dusts Nelly Korda on Sunday, goes out in 30. Player of the year is a objective standard there. It's not like, you know, you don't take into account majors. Like
I saw a lot of people wanting the vote, and I kind of dig the points. I think the points is good because you don't end up with Patrick Cantlay beating Jon Rahm.
Yeah.
I think that's all you got to point to in terms of like a guy that was completely irrelevant in the four biggest tournaments of the year wins player of the year over the guy that won, you know, the U.S. Open and finished what top five and all other ones.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, she's won the Moneyless 3 years in a row. This will be her second year player of the year award. She's won 12 times. Like it's just, and she's won every year, I think, since 2017. emotional win. She talked about losing her grandmother. It was just, it set up well. I don't think it was particularly competitive, though. I mean, she goes out in 30, and Nelly Korda calls it sort of the Jin Young Ko show. Again, it was absurd. I think it's hard to kind of, greens and regulation is a stat that's sort of lost, I don't know, relevance and meaning in the strokes gained era, but 63 is still 63. You have to hit it. You know, it's just, it seems hard to comprehend.
Yeah, it, I mean, just an incredible season, I think, for the LPGA.
Right.
And what a way for it to end. You know, Sunday wasn't what people wanted in terms of like a duel, but the fact that they were in the same group.
Yep.
It's pretty remarkable. And every golf we would dream, we would die for two dominant players like this. This is just an incredible storyline. It's I think it helps with women's golf's kind of perception in America that one of them's American. I think that's a big deal with Nelly. And just in general, you know, this is I think this was, you know, a great year for the LPGA. Just being able to have this two dominant players, easy to follow storylines for a casual fan, and easy for people to jump in and know these two players.
Yep. Ko did it, by the way. She didn't warm up. Her wrist has been really bad. And apparently, like,
here's the question,
she had putts
though.
In 52-degree wedges or something like that.
Wouldn't you want to warm up a little if you're nursing an injury?
I don't know. She said she didn't. Apparently, it was at the point Thursday where Caddy was like, do you want a WD? But I don't know. Yeah, the first fairway is apparently really tight, and that was her first, like, real full swing of the day. Again, wins $1.5 million, biggest purse. That's going up to $2 million next year. This is, I don't know. It's certainly not the most consequential women's event, right? That goes to the majors, but it's carved out a nice little season ender, right, in November after a lot of other stuff's passed. It's a good way to cap the year.
I'd like to see it move to the West Coast, but obviously I know.
Yeah. Not the West Coast of Florida doesn't do it for you. You want the West Coast.
Well, it just would be a great time slot. It would be, sure, it'd be real. And I think, like, it, you know, understanding the global audience of women's golf skews a little bit more west or east, far east.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it would be more watchable for the global audience. I think I was on the West Coast, and it's just hard to watch East Coast golf if you're on the West
November.
Coast. Yeah.
It's over at 4 o'clock.
You know,
or 3:30. Their pace of play was awesome, by the way. TV was supposed to go to 4. It was over at like 3:20, 3:25.
Lydia Ko won the scoring average, too.
Yeah, 69.03, something like that. It's the only thing she hasn't won, really, the Vera Trophy. But Ko and Korda weren't eligible. They didn't have the 70 rounds. You had to do a minimum of 70 rounds. They would have beat her.
Yeah, but great to have Lydia Ko back, being like, you know, the start of this year, like, that's a kind of an underrated thing about the whole year, is like Lydia Ko wasn't really that relevant in women's golf, and and she's emphatically back after really a terrific year.
According to the PXG website, she won a major.
That's right.
The Saudi International, they're now putting under her bio as a major championship, the Saudi Women's International. PXG,
the
sky is red, and, you know, they could tell you whatever matter. You know, it doesn't matter. They make up their own reality. Go ahead.
One other thing. I don't want to gloss over the PXG thing. That's just delightful. But
that was an Instagram hit a week ago. We didn't bring it up here, but go ahead.
I aspire to one day have the ability in any walk of life to just put what happened 3 days ago completely in the rear view, the way Lexi Thompson has proven time and time again to be able to do. It's utterly remarkable to just,
really?
Like, I, yeah.
Why? What do you mean she put it in the rear view? Because she finished eighth?
She was, like, relevant. I would be devastated. Yeah. I'd be, you know, and this is, I think this is something to marvel at with, like, a lot of pro golfers and pro athletes in general, is their short memory span, their ability to just forget. Like, I completely blew a tournament last week. Like, the same thing happened with the U.S. women the week after the U.S. Women's Open at Medellin. She, like, played well
again.
That's
true.
Like,
that's true.
It's just, like, you could go through this gut-wrenching experience where you complete, like, certain people those things ruin. They ruins them for years. Like, yeah. They can't overcome the fact that they blew something so badly. And she's just like back the next week, like nothing happened.
She's so good that I think she can, yeah, strike it to an eighth. Maybe the putting was just as bad. It just wasn't as high profile. Anyways, we had a source on the ground say she was cussing out volunteers. Anyways, but sounds.
I'm not saying that I admire anything else about Lexi Thompson, but I admire her short memory. Like, it just is unbelievable.
I know. All right, swinging up from Naples. It's like
she's like J.R. Smith of in basketball.
Sure, just doesn't keep matter. Shooting.
Yeah, just keep shoot or shoot.
Swinging up from Naples to the whatever they call them, the Golden Isles, whatever they're called. Sea Island.
That's what they're
the,
called.
The RS. There's something they always say on the broadcast. That's the only time I ever hear it. The RSM Classic. Taylor Gooch runs away with it. Wins by three. Goes 64, 65, 67, 64. There was a little wind in the middle two rounds. But aside from that, it was just a nice little silly season birdie fest. He wins 22 under. He's your world number one. He's your new world number one. Amazing.
Top
like
of the
fall. He was like 11th in like at worst he'd done was like 11th outside of the Houston Open. Just an amazing run through the fall. Played like every event too.
He's the thing too is this, you could see this coming. Taylor Gooch, you know, 2019, end of 2019, 200th ranked player in the world. End of last year, he's the 81st ranked player in the world. And going into the week, he had climbed all the way to 52. And he did this by being in contention. There were numerous events this year where you're like, Taylor Gooch could win. And he was in the mix regularly. And I think this is just a, you know, it is just an example of like, Taylor Gooch is not, he's not young.
He's
but
30. Just
some guys,
30.
He's not old. And it's this right. is more the, this was used to be the typical tour success path. You know, you start to play really well, and he's just a player that's coming into his own in general. He's been so consistent, and I expect him, you know, I think he's got a chance to compete for team spots if he, you know, just based off the way he's been playing. Like, I think it's such a confidence game, and I think he's gotten to the point where he knows he belongs up there. And, you know, I think he put him in the same kind of bucket as Ed Ohoma's won a few more times than him. But you're in these, they aren't superstars, but they're definitely some of the best players on tour.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So it was an impressive weekend. Never really close. The event, you know, whatever. It was fine. It rounds us out. He'll go to 2022 as the number one in the FedEx Cup or the world, if you want to go by your standard. Anything else on the RSM Classic?
How about that? Holden number one in the world spot over the holidays. It's got to feel so good for a guy like Taylor Gooch.
God, they kept talking about, every time the broadcast came on the air, they kept talking about Colton Allison. Like how I think it was nine holes or something. And who knows what's happened.
There's nothing left. There's nothing left there.
I was, you know, you're out happily out at Bandon Dunes. And I just,
they're going to start talking about Walter Travis and what Davis Love and Fazio have done to that course over the years.
All right. Continuing on. That's your RSM Classic. Good to have the wraparound season done, if I must say so myself. News. Did you want to hit on the BFP getting dinged for having a dot on a tape for a launch monitor? I don't know if it was Tiger's deal or what. It has a dot. It gets DQ'd. I think I mentioned it with Shane Ryan on Friday. Like, the irony of this, of course, is like the driver face itself could be hotter than the surface of the sun and no one would know. But like the sticker on it, like that's what gets you DQ'd because of the oversight on that. It has to be apparent. No CT testing. You have anything else? The BFB, they're targeting him.
Yeah, I there's one thing that I would point out. Everybody that tagged me, thank you. I would have missed it otherwise. but B, people saying, "Come get your boy." He's not my boy. All right.
saying that?
Numerous,
oh my God.
Numerous times. Numerous times on this podcast, I've remarked at how horrible of a human being.
This is all just a little
has
whimsy.
Been over his,
come on, people.
This is just a tongue-in-cheek joke.
it's whimsy about him doing this absurd nationality switch that almost worked out to into a gold medal and got him a damn silver medal. Come on. It's not like we're the BFB, you know, fan club here. Come get your boy. I like that. Apparently, we're not gearheads at all, but apparently TaylorMade has some nuclear driver coming out where like the face can like get around CT. I don't know. All these rumors. I've heard it now from two different directions, though, that they have some driver face that can get around the testing or might be, I don't know. It could be a workaround. I don't know. Apparently that's a thing. While we're on the subject.
Awesome.
Driver face.
Tough news for Brooksy.
What a segue. Go ahead.
The long standing free agent falls. Finally, enough money is waved into his face. You know what? To
Mr.
me, this might be the end of the Brooksy era.
What do you mean? You think this is a capitulation? That you know,
I think he's cashing in. He knows that you know the game isn't what it used to be, and you know he had
his game isn't what it used to be. Okay,
and he had that short run. He's cashing in while he still can.
Whoa, spice, a little spicy take here. I mean, he is keenly aware of the pip. Like I think he gets like metric, like you know, updates on the metrics, and you know, yeah, he's aware of avenues to make cash. Apparently that now includes a deal with Shrixon. I think it's club, ball, everything.
He's used the irons forever.
Right. He has been on their irons. Right.
But I don't think he was using the driver. It'll be just interesting to see what happens from this. I mean, he's 16th in the world right now, which is crazy to think about where he was 2 years ago. Like,
I guess.
I mean, some injuries, obviously, but like,
yeah.
And I think he'll still be a factor at majors, but really, like, where are we going with this? Because he's you know, what, 30 years old now?
Yep. Yep.
In, you know, he's had a good career, but, like, you know, he's got the major totals, but the wins, I don't think he's going to get to where everybody wanted him to get to.
Yep. All right. Anything else? Can we talk about your Bandon trip? How was it? A full week, limited. Usually, you and I are texting all week. I don't want to bother you out there. Was it great? You're going to have a bunch of prints.
Yeah.
Bandon prints. We got the shop. Not only can you get BFP shirt, you're going to get some. I saw some of your photography. Looked pretty good.
This time of year is the best time to take photos. Obviously, you go out to Southern Oregon this time of the year, and the weather is a complete crapshoot, and we got such good days. It was great. Great time. We had two awesome caddies, Brooks and Casey. Brooks's kid is, I guess, like an emerging talent in Oregon. He's like the second ranked junior golfer in his age group in Oregon. So, but the caddies were awesome. I mean, if you haven't heard of Bandon, It's a cool spot.
Had you played every course there before this week?
I hadn't played a couple. I'd played three of the five. So this week I played all of them. They, you know, it's definitely a trip worth. I know it's expensive. It's hard to get to, but it's worth going. They're like booked till 2023.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's amazing.
So
you're gonna do a full debrief on Friday, I assume, right?
Yeah, we're gonna do. We did a pod. It'll be out next week. Just a summary pod. Then we're gonna do them on all the courses, and we're doing some video stuff. And it's a cool place, man. It was a long trip though. I'm glad to be home.
So you'll have prints from that Friday print shop up on Black.
I think those go on
Friday,
Black Friday,
Cyber Monday, something
Black
like
Friday.
That.
Those go up as
All right.
soon as I get, you know, through my droves of editing. It's a problem. You got to get through all of them.
Wednesday here we're gonna have the year in review brought to you by Precision Pro. Kick it off. I don't know how many parts we're gonna do. We might break it up into shorter, more parts where they're an hour or 40 minutes, and there's 8 parts as opposed to 4 that are 2 hours. I'm not sure. But Wednesday, the year interview will begin, brought to you by Precision Pro. And we'll have, I think, probably Black Friday deals for them. But in the meantime, you can go to the Shotgun Start Shop and get ordering. Subscribe to Fried Egg newsletter.
ProShop.thefriedegg.com. If you're looking for Shotgun Start stuff, there's a Shotgun Start tab that has all of our stuff.
There you go. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday back with the year in review.
Oh, one other thing.
What?
We accept crypto.
What's that? Never heard of it.
Cryptocurrency.
At the shop? Accept,
yeah.
How about that? Do you know how that works?
No, I don't.
You have any idea what it is?
I want somebody to buy something with it so I understand. Like, I don't know if we get crypto or do we get cash. Like, yeah. I don't know how it works. I know our processing fee is smaller on it, so we prefer it.
Oh, okay.
It's a big
Well, if you're a crypto owner and you need a thick boy cap or a print, maybe that's the way to go. Let's dive into the waters here. Let's jump in. I'm interested.
Hey, we're innovative. I don't think there's any other golf pro shop that takes crypto. We're on the cutting edge here.
There's probably some terrible, like, never mind. I'm not going to go into it. All right. Yeah, I love it. Let's dabble. If you have crypto, make your purchase. All right. We'll talk to you Wednesday. We'll be back with the year in review.